This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. God became flesh. He was born and grew up in a remote part of the empire. There were questions about his parentage, especially the identity of his father. He left home to fulfill his destiny and change the course of history. I refer, of course, to Luke Skywalker. I was reading an article the other day by Phil Grundy, which looked at the effect the Star Wars franchise has had on contemporary culture. At its heart, it's a science fiction story about the clash between what in this story is a finely balanced good and evil. And often when the movies start, it's the evil that has the upper hand, and it's a story of whether or not good can prevail through the noble and courageous acts of humanity. And this is big business, not only with record box office takings, but with an array of toys and games that are based on the story. Phil Grundy, who I was reading from, and it gave me this sort of inspiration about this, referred to a recent report talking Jesus, which suggests that 25% of 18 to 34-year-olds think that Jesus is a fictional or mythical character. So this is a significant group of people, not just within that age group, but I'm sure other age groups reflect this in some way as well, a significant percentage of people who think Jesus is a fictional character, meaning that for them, there's little difference between Jesus and Luke Skywalker, except that at this time of year, with all the advertising, Luke Skywalker is probably more in their minds than Jesus. And Phil continues by saying, "Certainly many children and adults this Christmas will look to Star Wars for a story that will thrill and move them over and above the story of the other Savior, the boy born in humble beginnings in that Middle Eastern town 20 centuries ago." Now, I wasn't surprised when I read of that percentage. I was dismayed. I was disheartened by it, but not surprised. I was disappointed to read it, because with very little research, anyone is able to find that Jesus really lived and was an historic figure. This is as close to established fact as you can be for anyone who lived in the time of Jesus. Not only is there reliable information about him in the Bible, other ancient historians mention Jesus. Now, I don't want to delve into that today other than to say there is so much good evidence that Jesus lived and walked this earth that practically all modern historians will agree that Jesus lived. And you have to go a little bit onto the loony fringe to find those who would say among historians that Jesus did not exist. They may not believe, all these historians believe what the gospel stories say about what Jesus did, but there's no doubt that he did exist. And Christianity only makes sense if Jesus was a real person. If God really did become human. Stories like Star Wars with heroes like Luke Skywalker can be entertaining for a moment, but it doesn't change my life, and it certainly can't change my eternity. On the other hand, Jesus, a real figure, a real person, is able and has changed the course of history and eternity. God became a man. The Word became flesh and lived among us. As we read at our carol service last Sunday, heaven placed its most precious gift in a human womb. The Omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. He who sustains the whole world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus. Holiness sleeping in a womb. God given eyebrows, elbows, kidneys and a spleen. God as real flesh and blood, fixed in history, in time and space. God becoming human is a significant part of what we celebrate today. As Christians, we celebrate this, but we see so much more of the scope of what God has done and what God would do through Jesus Christ. But the humanity of Jesus is the starting point of any meaningful conversation about the truth of the Bible or Christian values. Now, some of you last weekend will have read, as I did in the newspaper, a columnist who spoke of being able to celebrate the good things of Christmas without having to believe in an invisible friend. So for some people, the values of Christmas are just so good, we can celebrate those without having to have reference to God. The Christmas story tells us that in Jesus, God became visible. Mary held him. The shepherds beheld him. Simeon took him in his arms to bless him. In time, nails would hold him to a cross. And to his skeptical friend Thomas, Jesus said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus was a very visible friend. Paul would later write, saying of Jesus, "He is the image of the invisible God." Jesus was God made visible. Not an invisible friend, but real flesh and blood. A human being who interacted with others. And while people may be able to celebrate the values of Christmas without thinking too much about God or Jesus, in reality, those values fade and lose their meaning without him. You'll have heard it said in the past, Jesus is the reason for the season. And without Jesus, there simply is no reason for the season. And while there are good things that we might be able to celebrate, Christmas is not primarily a celebration of good values. It celebrates a person, Jesus Christ. And the values of Christmas are important because they are personified in this person. We celebrate a person. And because we celebrate a person, we can also celebrate a relationship. The Gospels do not simply record the events in Jesus' life or the teaching in Jesus' life. It records the relationships in Jesus' life. And one of the most attractive things about the Gospels is that Jesus had friends. People he spent time with, people he loved. He took time and showed interest in strangers. He listened to them and helped them. He went along to weddings and enjoyed conversations around the dinner table. His enemies tried to disparage him by calling him the friend of sinners. I'm just so happy that they did call him that, because that's a wonderful thing for us to know. He is a friend to sinners. He visited the homes of friends for meals. He developed relationships with them. And at the Last Supper, again around the table with his closest friends, he said to them outright, "I have called you friends." And one of the most loved songs in the church is called "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Jesus came, a real person, to forge relationships with us so that we could have a relationship with God. I don't celebrate Christmas because I want to celebrate good values. I celebrate Christmas because I know the birthday boy, and he has invited me to be his friend. One of my earliest memories, age 5 or 6, was just singing happy birthday to Jesus at Christmas time. I didn't have any idea of the values that were around Christmas. All I knew was that I had a friend called Jesus and he was having a birthday. Well, what difference does this make? There was a moment, a point in time, when Jesus was born. God came among us, a friend to reach out to us, a person we can know, a person who has changed history, a person who invites us to spend eternity with him. Now, perhaps some of you have come today and sort of think, did he really exist? Was he perhaps a fictional, mythical character? And if you're thinking that, then I just invite you to do some really basic research, because Jesus meets the historical criteria and ticks the boxes which give us confidence that he really lived. There are independent sources which speak of him, and so much in the scriptures in the Bible from many different witnesses spoken of in different ways, and we have these manuscripts from a very, very early time. We have such good evidence for the life of Jesus. Now, if he's only a fictional character, we can put him to one side. Perhaps make a little toy out of him, put him on a shelf or in the toy box. But if he is real, then we have to connect and to interact with what he said and what he did and who he claimed to be. And you can come to your own conclusions. But if he lived, then you must face up to him and think about him. And this makes a difference also to how we celebrate Christmas, because it puts Jesus at the center, a real person whose birth we celebrate. Not just a real person, but our friend, our Savior, our Lord. So enjoy the Christmas celebration. Enjoy it with your family and with your friends, with those that you gather with today. Do it with great gladness, with great joy, with great confidence that we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. And do all this to the glory of God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing the song "Joy to the World."